In November 2003, Ahmed Abdul Majid, a stateless Palestinian born and raised in Ain al-Helwe refugee camp in southern Lebanon, was deported by immigration authorities from Canada. The distance between Montreal and Lebanon stretches thousands of kilometers over oceans and continents, but remains only a short distance in Ahmed's eyes, and living memory of an existence shaped by the daily struggle of statelessness. Today, Ahmed resides in Ain al-Helwe, with an estimated 80,000 other stateless Palestinians, in the country's largest refugee camp, located on the outskirts of the southern Lebanese city of Saida. Ain al-Helwe is a stark example of the lived reality of persecution that Palestinian refugees face today in Lebanon. Ain al-Helwe is a Palestinian ghetto, a social and economic prison for tens of thousands of refugees displaced by the creation of the State of Israel. The entire camp and its thousands of residents are restricted to approximately 2 square kilometers and completely surrounded by Lebanese military checkpoints, which deny Palestinians freedom of movement. To enter or exit the camp, Palestinians are forced to show their UN-issued refugee identity documents to Lebanese soldiers, enforcing a physical and psychological control over Palestinian movement. Military control over Palestinians in Ain al-Helwe symbolizes broader social and economic oppression enforced by laws and regulations of the Lebanese state, which undermine the basic survival of Palestinians. Forbidden from owning property, working in over 70 professions, and legally defined as foreigners, Palestinians live in Lebanon as second-class citizens, without any basic social or political rights. We will now hear an interview recorded in Beirut, Lebanon, with Ahmed Abdul Majid, in which he reflects on his experiences organizing against Palestinian deportations from Canada, with the Coalition Against the Deportation of Palestinian Refugees in Montreal, while also addressing the current realities facing Palestinian refugees in Lebanon.
My name is Ahmed Abdul Majid, a Palestinian from Ain al-Helwe camp, which is located in the south of Lebanon. It contains about 75,000 of Palestinian people.
I have a big family. I have 6 brothers, 1 sister. My father is old, and also my mother is old. And now I'm studying in Arab University in Beirut. I have a bad problem to get the money to study in university. So me and all the Palestinian people, they are bad conditions that Palestinian refugees are trying in Ain al-Helwe, that no one can ignore it. And we have tried doing a lot of meetings and concert projects about human rights and the rights of the Palestinian people, refugee, to work. Actually, we are forbidden from having 75 professions. We are persecuted from the Lebanese government, that no one can get permission to work. Right now, I feel that I am a persecutor in Lebanon, that I don't have a civil rights, I don't have a right to work, I don't have anything. Like, I'm feeling like same as like an animal, that I don't have any rights, just living in a small camp, and there's no human rights, there's nothing to deal with it.
The camp itself, Ain al-Helwe, it's probably one of the most crowded camps Can you maybe describe, like, how did the streets look? How are the buildings looking? How is the plumbing, the sewage, the electricity?
There is two main streets, one lower street and one upper street. And there's like small buildings in the middle of the camp. There's no electricity, just 2 hours per day. And there's a sewage water in the street. And there's bad conditions for living in the summer. There's no air condition, there's nothing. I live with my family in a small house. I and 7 brothers live in a small house. We have bad conditions. Me and my family try with another community that help Palestinian people to get a right to work, to get good conditions for people living in the camp. We're trying to work with civil communities and democratic communities to get our rights in Lebanon.
Do you see the struggle for Palestinian rights in Lebanon as part of the bigger struggle for Palestine? You know, today throughout the world, people are demonstrating for Palestine in Canada, in France, in South Africa. Across the world, people are demonstrating for Palestine. Do you see the struggle of Palestinian refugees in Lebanon as part of that?
Yeah, the same, because the Palestinian refugees in Lebanon, Canada, all over the world are the same. We don't have a land, we don't have a right to live in Lebanon or in over the world. We are living as a refugee. We are persecuted people. So I remember that my family came to Lebanon in 1948. My grandfather came to Lebanon and his wife. So my father was born in Lebanon in 1950, and also my mother was born in 1954, and all my brothers and sisters were born in Lebanon.
So as a Palestinian in Lebanon, and having lived in the situation you described, you can't work in so many professions and so on, what do you propose to change? Like, what should be changed in terms of the Palestinian refugee situation in Lebanon? What are you demanding as a Palestinian?
So, because there are people who don't have a country for themselves, and also because a lot of them ended up in Lebanon without basic civil rights and not even the right to work for more than 75 professions. So as a human being, I have a right to live and I have a civil rights, but as I'm a Palestinian in Lebanon, I don't have any rights to speak with the law, in the Lebanese law, that I'm a Palestinian. I can't get a permission to work, I can't get any permission to live, I can't go to the hospitals, I need to pay, so I don't have any rights.
So because of the situation that you're describing in Lebanon, you chose in 2001 to leave Lebanon. So maybe can you talk about that? That decision to leave, you came to Canada and applied refugee status. What made you make that decision to get up from your family, get up from everything that you knew that was familiar, and come to Canada? What made you decide that?
In 1999, I finished my baccalaureate. I tried to enter university, but I came because I can't pay $5,000 a year per year to continue my studying school. So I have a cousin in the United States. He helped me to get an I-20 from the university. Then I applied for United States Embassy in Lebanon. So I got a visa, I traveled to the States, and then I entered Canada and applied for other refugee status. So the main reason that I can't continue my studies in Lebanon because I have to pay. When I wanted to travel, I had a bad feeling that I want to leave my family, but there's no way just to travel because I need to continue my studies, I need to help my family. All my uncles are dead during the civil war, the Lebanese civil war. They are killed by the Lebanese military. And there's no one can help me, just myself. I heard about Canada, there's a human right, there's right. If you went to Canada, you can't work, you can't study, you can do everything. The government, they can pay for you, can give you a monthly payment. So you can do everything, and after 3 years or 4 years, you can get a citizen as a refugee. So I went there and applied as a refugee status.
You just talked a little bit about what your idea was of Canada before coming to Canada, when you were still in Lebanon, looking to Canada and what you thought it was. Can you describe what your feeling was when you came as a refugee to Canada? What were you thinking when you were at the border? at the border from the United States?
I stayed 3 months in the United States, and then I went to the border. So when I was at the border, Canadian border, I felt happy. No one asked me for an ID. No one asked me for a passport. Just stay inside and fill up the papers as a refugee. Then he told me enter the city alone. I stopped the bus and entered the city, and no one talked to me from the first day or from the first moment. I felt as a free man.
Well, this was coming to Montreal. So talk about what you felt. You're walking around Montreal. It was a new city. You weren't familiar with anything. Everything was new. You'd come from a camp in the south of Lebanon to Montreal. It's a big change, right? Like, how did you feel? What were you thinking? Like, were you remembering back home and the change? And
it was really a big change and a big thing in my life that I left the camp and went to Canada. When I was walking in the streets in Montreal, I was feeling a happy man that I'm seeing a new building, new streets, a new life. There's a new people. And most of the communities over there are interested in the case of the Palestinian refugee.
In your first months in Montreal, what did you do? Were you calling home often to talk to your family? Because you must have felt like you were in two. One side of you was in Canada and one side of you was in Lebanon.
Yeah. From the first day, like, I called my family and I swear to God that I didn't want to come back to Lebanon because I'm feeling a free man. Finally, I got my liberty.
So you said before that you were at the border and you made the papers to claim refugee status in Canada. So talk about how that went from the beginning. What was the process that you experienced?
When I was at the border, I met a man in the border and told him that where's the Canadian border, where's the office for the refugees people. And he told me where is. And when I entered the office, like, there is like four or five people work in the office, and I asked them that I need to apply a refugee status. So then they gave me an application, and I fill up like four or five papers, and I fill up the application and waited like 4 or 5 hours. They give me an IDs, like Canadian IDs, as a refugee, and let me enter the city.
You had to write your whole life story in 3 or 4 pages, everything that you experienced, you know, your family's history, fleeing Palestine, living in the conditions that exist in Ain Helwi, with the living conditions, the lack of electricity, the lack of work, and that whole experience that you have as a Palestinian, you had to put into a couple of lines on refugee papers. Was that difficult? How do you translate from everything that you lived, everything that you experienced, into the forms of the Canadian government?
Yeah, there's 4 or 5 papers that not of them I need to fill up. But actually there is information about ID, my ID, like my name, my family name, my father's name, and information about my family, where they live, your address, or something like that. And there's one page that I need to make a short story about my life, why I need to apply for a refugee status. Really, I felt afraid when I applied as a refugee status, and I wrote about my story that I felt no one live like Palestinian people in the camp. There is this strange people, no one knows about them. I felt afraid when I applied about my own story, because I'm living as a persecuted person in the camp that I don't have a right. Like, I have a humanitarian story. I applied for the human, I forbidden to get 75 professions that I don't have a civil rights, I don't have that. I need to talk about these conditions on my own story.
So do you think that just this fact, the facts about Lebanon and the conditions in Lebanon of Palestinians, this just on its own was the basis of your refugee claim and many other Palestinians? Do you think that that is enough in terms of applying for a refugee in Canada? Do you think that
If any Palestinian that came from Lebanon to Canada to claim refugee status, do you think that they should be given papers?
Yeah, because all the Palestinian people are persecuted in Lebanon, that they don't have rights. So all of them like the same. They have the same conditions. So all the Palestinian people are the same. All of them live in the same camp. They live in Al Hilwi. All of them live in the same camp. All of them have small houses, have no electricity. There is a sewage water on the street. There is no conditions to live in the camp. So I'm a human being. Like, I need human conditions to live. I don't have any human conditions in Lebanon. I feel afraid that I'm sitting in front of the judge. This is the first time of my life I sit in front of a judge. He always asked me about my own story. Like, he didn't believe me, and I'm telling him true story. And I told him that if he didn't believe me, he can ask the Lebanese government, can ask the Canadian embassy in Lebanon, that's true or not.
And how did you feel about your whole life being judged by this one person, this one Canadian, who had never traveled to the camps, who'd never been in Lebanon?
I had a bad feeling that I should tell him all my story in like a few minutes, 20 or 30 minutes. I need to tell him about all my life. I need time. I need like at least 1 week to tell him about all my story. I need to bring him a document. Also, I brought him a document about the situation of Palestinian refugee in Lebanon. He didn't give any care about Palestinian camps in Lebanon, about Ain Helwi, about the problems, the civil problems.
The morning that you received the paper that said that you were refused, and how you felt when you read that?
Just one line, just short answer, that you are refused because you have the same conditions as the Palestinian refugee in Lebanon. Well, I didn't believe that. Really, I didn't believe. At that time, I called my lawyer and told him that it's true or not that I got refused from the court.
After you were refused refugee status in Canada as a Palestinian, what did you do? What did you want to do?
I applied for another court, but also they refused. Then I applied as a PRRA. And also after 2 months, they refused me. When I applied the PRRA, someone with the immigration called me at my house and gave me an appointment to meet him in his office. There's a lady, her name, I forgot her name, and I told her that I already got married from a Canadian woman. She told me that even if you get married and have children, we will deport you. You have 2 months to leave Canada. And exactly after 2 months, I get deportation. When I got my letter from the court that I was refused, I have a bad feeling that all my friends get acceptance, and me and refused, and other Palestinian people are refused. So I asked my lawyer that what I need to do. She told me that to apply for a PRRA, and then you need to work to get money to pay for the lawyer, and you have at least 1 year or 2 years to get deportation. But when I applied for PRRA and I got a new job like 1 month before, after I applied the PRRA like 1.5 months, I got deportation, and you give me at least 15 days to leave Canada.
So when you were working in Canada, what were you doing? What were your jobs?
I was working in an Arabic restaurant in downtown. First of all, I was working as a dishwasher. Then I worked as a chef. I was cooking in the restaurant. When I was working in the Arabic restaurant, I met so many Canadian people, and I have friends, Canadian people, as friends.
But the government of Canada refused you refugee status. How did that make you feel about Canada? You described Canada before you came. After you were refused, how did your idea of the government change?
I hate the government first of all, but after that I have chance to apply as a PRA and humanitarian and to have a lawyer, but when I get petition, my opinion is changed. I was still love Canada when I was in Canada. I loved here more when I got deportation because I was a free man. I have a right to fight to get my papers in Canada.
Now, you chose to organize with other Palestinians and were one of the first people that started the Coalition Against the Deportation of Palestinian Refugees in Montreal. So why was it that you made that choice to get involved and to fight for your papers?
Because there is no solution. Also, like I get deportation before 15 days and I don't have any solution, just to fight to get my own papers. So I met Palestinian guys that work with human rights. So there is only solution to work with them to get my own papers.
And working with people and other Palestinians who are in the same situation as you, how did you feel?
It's a good feel because all of them work in the same case and all of them try to help each other, make a good relation like brothers. All the world is my land because I don't have any land. If I went to anywhere, it would be my land because I don't have a land as a Palestinian people, and all the world is my land. Because the first country I go is Canada. If I go to Germany or Belgium or Iceland, it will be my land. The first country I will apply the refugee status, and I don't have right to apply in another country, just first time. The judge told me that you are not allowed to apply as a refugee status because you are applied in Lebanon as a refugee status. I told him I'm not applying a refugee status in Lebanon. I didn't apply a refugee status in Lebanon. I born as a refugee status. There's a big difference. I born as a refugee.
Having been born as a refugee in Lebanon and being stateless, you feel that it's the duty of a country like Canada to give a stateless Palestinian papers?
Yeah, it's a duty for the Canadian government to give the Palestinian people.
Talk about what you did in the Coalition Against the Deportation of Palestinian Refugees. Why did you put so much time and so much energy and so much effort into being involved?
This is the only way to get my papers, first of all, and also I heard about the Algerian people that they were fighting for more 2 years and finally they got their papers, and I hope to be like them to get my papers after fighting. But finally I got deportation and they deport me to United States.
And fighting meaning what? What did you do in the coalition? What types of things did you organize? What were you asking from the Canadian government?
I've tried to express my situation in Lebanon, to explain for all the Canadian people about the Palestinian situation, about the bad condition that they were living in camps, and about the human rights of Palestinian people, and about my own rights to apply as a refugee status and to get my paper in Canada. I had demonstration and petitions, and I had workshops on human rights of Palestinian people and make many demonstrations.
You were very involved in organizing in the Coalition Against the Deportation of Palestinian Refugees. So in the weeks before your deportation?
Just 1 week before I get deportation or before I deported from Canada, I fill up my humanitarian application. And just a few days after, I will send it to the government, but they catch me in my job and deported me.
Now, maybe describe what happened to you when you were deported from Canada. What exactly happened?
When they deport me to United States, they put me in jail for 2 weeks. And I stayed like 2 months in New York City waiting for my court. And when I got my court, I went to the Buffalo. And in the court, the judge asked me if I need to leave the States or stay and apply as a refugee status. And told me that if I need to apply as a refugee status, I will face many problems because I applied as a refugee status in Canada, and you have some problems with the government because you stay there illegal.
Now, can you describe exactly what happened on the day that you were deported? What exactly happened?
In the morning, like 7, I went to my French school to get to my graduation, because I studied over there like 6 months. And I got my certificate, and I went to my job. When I arrived at my job, like there was like 4 policemen waiting for me outside. When they saw me enter the restaurant, they come and catch me. They told me that you are arrested, you have deportation 1 year before. They took me to the jail in Laval.
That was a detention center for immigrants and refugees. What were you thinking, like, when they took you and they put you in the van and they brought you to the jail? What was going through your head? Were you thinking about Lebanon?
Yeah, I was thinking about Lebanon, and I feel like I'm a guilty man. They put handcuffs and in my legs also. And 2 men, there was 3 men, catch me from my hands and put me in the car.
During those 2 days when you were in Laval Detention Center, you were talking with a lot of the people who were also involved with the Coalition Against the Deportation of Palestinian Refugees. What were the conversations that you were having with them? What were they saying to you? What were you saying to them?
I said to them that I'm in the detention Laval, like we need to stop deportation, to make a big demonstration. They will take me to the court in the downtown Montreal, and we need to call the minister, we need to call the whole communities to make pressure on the judge.
You always said that there's you, but then there's everybody else who's in the same situation. Why did you see it as together?
Because when I see a Palestinian people, a Palestinian man or a woman, I feel that he has the same situation. And when I see Palestinian people, I feel sad from my heart that all the Palestinian people are persecuted and they don't have rights. And I'm thinking of Palestinian people more than I'm thinking of myself, my own self.
And so if you had something to say to people back in Canada about the whole experience that you described, what would you say?
I send a message to them that keep fighting against the whole situation, or keep fighting to get their paper, to get their rights in Canada, to get better life than here.
And in terms of this whole struggle that you've talked about, the struggle for papers in Canada, you also talked about the conditions here in Lebanon. It seems that the Palestinian struggle, it exists in all corners of the globe. In every country, Palestinians are fighting for their rights.
Yeah. Palestinian people are persecuted in all over the world, and all over the world. No one in the world can accept that we are living now.
You have been listening to an interview with Ahmed Abdel Majid, a stateless Palestinian born and raised in Ain El Helwe refugee camp in southern Lebanon, who was deported by Canadian immigration authorities from Montreal, where he was an active member of the Coalition Against the Deportation of Palestinian Refugees. This interview focused on the current situation of Palestinian refugees in Lebanon, where laws and regulations of the Lebanese state undermine the basic survival of Palestinians. Forbidden from owning property, working in over 70 professions, and legally defined as foreigners, Palestinians live in Lebanon as second-class citizens, without any basic social or political rights. For more information on the Coalition Against the Deportation of Palestinian Refugees, visit their website at refugees.resist.ca. For more information and background on the current social and political situation facing Palestinian refugees in Lebanon, visit the Electronic Intifada online at www.electronicintifada.net. That's www.electronicintifada.net. This interview was recorded in Beirut, Lebanon, and produced in Montreal by Stefan Christoph for broadcast on CKUT Radio and distribution through the Electronic Intifada.